Okay, now.
Okay, can I have a motion to bring us back into session? Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes, Mr. Battistini, you're at the microphone.
Just a comment about the couches. They are not going to be pull-out couches.
Well, furthermore, the beds-to-beds is accurate. The existing hotel rooms have pull-out couches as well. So when I give you a bed-to-bed count of 174 down to 179 down to 147 down to 78, that was a true bed-to-bed count. There are pull-out couches in the hotel motels now. So again, you'd have another 74 plus 4, so you'd have another 78 pull-out couches on top of that. So again, it was a bed-to-bed, not a I can sleep here kind of situation. I wanted to give you the bed-to-bed number.
Thank you.
Having said that, it appears the board has some very significant issues with parking. So we'd like this time to table to see what kind of manipulations we can make to the plan to see about one having the parking spaces be more conforming to the 9x18. So with permission from the board, we'd like to table this for a moment.
That's fine.
Take a motion.
We can take a motion.
To the table.
Application at and that's for practical purposes. PBA 25-007 10th Street Partners. We have a motion to table.
I make a second, Shepard.
All in favor?
Aye.
You're requesting a table date to be determined. You'll have to renotice. Or do you want to table to January 7th?
We're going to table to the January 7th. Yeah, January 7th is the first
time. 2026.
Okay. No requirement to renotice. Correct.
There'll be no requirement
and if
to
something
renotice.
Happens, you can't do that, then we'll just go from there. Okay.
Who made the motion?
Who made that motion?
Adams.
Shepard. Second.
Table 2, 1-7-26, no renoticing.
So for everyone in the audience, there will not be a renotice of this. It's going to be January 7th, same place, same time.
Everybody keep your plans just
everybody
in case, please.
Everybody save your plans. And
glad you said that.
Any other pieces?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Everybody have a good
one. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
We have number two on the agenda is a consistency report of 2514 curb opening parking. Mr. Shule, or when you're ready.
I am ready, Mr. Chairman. Master Plan Consistency Report.
Yes.
But I believe Jamie has sent out copies of my report dated November 21st, 2025. This is an ordinance amending subchapter 17, street sidewalks and sanitation, and chapter 25, zoning land development and revised ordinances. It was introduced to City Council November 20th, and we see scheduled for second reading public hearing on December 18th. This is a standard formatting of all my consistency reports. I gave you the statutory criteria from municipal land use law, what that's all about. And that's basically comprises the first page of the report. The second page, I give a very brief summary of the four sections, the four, relevant sections of the ordinance changes. Section 1 is revising 17-2.4 curbs and gutters to prohibit curb openings for new development where particular access can be provided at the end and out. A lot of this is just getting consistency between Chapter 17 and Chapter 25 relative to curb cuts, driveways, and that type of thing. So that's what that first section is doing. The second section is amending a zoning ordinance. It's 25-300.1A. This has to do with encroachments. The condition by conditioning the allowance for parking in the front yard to include situations where vehicular access from the alley is obstructed by the principal structure. I want you to note that that section only refers to the principal structure. And I have recommendations down below that pick up on that. Section 3 amends the same section of the ordinance. It does not. This has to do with parking requirements. To permit parking in the front yard, side yard, where the rear yard, again, is inaccessible, again, due to the principal structure. And my same comments will apply further down. Section 4 amends 25312.6 to stipulate vehicular access to parking spaces. Loading and unloading is required via an adjoining alley, provided the lot is accessible from the alley. This section also provides an exception for existing dwellings where access via the alley is precluded, again, by the principal building. Section 5 amends 25-1700, these design standards, to include an exception to utilize an alley for vehicular access where access is obstructed by the principal buildings. So I went through the master plan. There are master plan goals I feel are supported by this ordinance. And I obviously reviewed the ordinance and the statutory requirements. And all in all, the ordinance, my opinion, is substantially consistent with the Ocean City Master Plan. However, I do have some recommendations for your consideration on page 3. The first is the proposal in 1702.4 allows for the Zoning Board of Adjustment to formally approve exceptions to this ordinance. The Planning Board may also exercise this authority in conjunction with review and approval of applications for development. So I think the Planning Board should be added to that section, as we are likely to see those type of applications, perhaps already have. Recommendation 2, 25300.1A1F, as proposed, conditions the allowance for parking in the front yard includes situations where vehicular access from the alley is obstructed by the principal structure. In my opinion, accessory buildings and structures may also include vehicular access from the alley. I'm thinking of garages, in-ground swimming pools, any number of things other than principal buildings could obstruct access to the rear. So I think those should be added. It shouldn't be precluded just because the principal structure is obstructing it. There are other obstructions. Just my thought. Recommendation 3. Similarly, as proposed, permits parking in the front side yard where the rear yard is inaccessible by due to the location of the principal structure. Again, accessory buildings and structures may also preclude vehicular access from the alley. If parking is to be permitted in the side yard, the minimum 18-foot parking space should be stipulated. That's already in the ordinance. It requires that depth in the front yard. If you're going to allow it in the side yard, that 18-foot depth should be there as well, in my opinion. Recommendation 4, 25312.6, stipulates vehicular access to parking spaces, so forth and so on. This section also provides an exception for existing dwellings, where access via the alley is precluded by the principal building. That section is not exclusive for residential properties. That could also be applied to commercial properties, and you may find other than dwellings in there that could preclude parking. You can have commercial property, a store, an office building, a mixed-use building. There's all types of other buildings aside from an existing dwelling that's stipulated in the ordinance that could preclude access to the parking spaces. So I just think it needs to be elaborated on. That section needs to be expanded to include other existing structures that could obstruct access. It should be limited to just dwelling units, since that could apply in a commercial zone. Recommendation 5, as proposed, includes exception requiring use of the alley for access where access is obstructed by principal buildings. Again, accessory buildings and structures may also preclude vehicular access from the alley. I think that should be added to that section of the ordinance with your approval. So that's what I have. The ordinance is pretty straightforward. I applaud the efforts to straighten out some inconsistencies in the ordinance, but I think it perhaps could benefit from the recommendations that provide. That's all.
How do we handle the recommendations?
Well, we deal with it after the public has an opportunity to comment. We would adopt a motion that would approve the report with the recommendation in the resolution, assuming it's adopted by the board, I would put a paragraph in the resolution that says we approve it subject to these recommendations, and then submit it back to council with the recommendations.
Okay.
Because what I would do is make Mr. Shule's report a portion of the resolution and identify the paragraph in which the recommendations are made. So after the public speaks, if any, then we'll make that motion.
Okay, do I have a motion to open it up to the public?
Shepherd, Barnes.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We're on consistency, the consistency report, 2514 curb cut openings and parking. Anybody from the public want to comment on this? Please come forward. Name, address.
Nancy Notaro, 11th and Central.
Okay, Nancy. Let's spell your last name.
N-O-T-A-R-O.
Okay. And your address again?
11th and Central on the corner, so actually I have two different addresses. So my mailing address is 502 11th Street.
502 11th. Now, is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
Yes.
Very well.
This all came about because there is a property on 11th Street that they did get approval to reduce a wraparound porch to unwrap it and just be across the front, so that they had parking on the side of the house. Not much. I don't know if it's 18 feet. I didn't go measure it. And then, like 5 months later, they approximately took it upon themselves on a Saturday, an unmarked vehicle, the cement company, come in and do their own curb cutout. So it's not even wide enough to get in the driveway because they would be running into the water meter, and they didn't have any markouts. So this is where it came from. When I saw it on council, it said in all of the council ordinances, it was always worded pre-existing, pre-existing, pre-existing. Tonight, I don't see pre-existing in any of the wording, so I'm not sure about that. The house takes up the whole lot. There's no pool, there's no garage or anything in the back. So they have never had off-street parking before this. So I can see why it's inconsistent in trying to give them parking, but I don't know if it's a legal spot. The curb cutout is definitely not big enough. But that's, I guess, the background of where this came from. So I'm just wondering if it's supposed to be just pre-existing buildings. The way I hear it tonight, it doesn't say, I had a picture, that's why I keep this on. The way it is worded tonight makes me think that if you had a new building and you decided to put a pool in the back or a shed in the back, that you would be able to park in the front of your house. So I'm not sure if we're missing that wording of pre-existing. I don't understand it enough, I guess, to say that. It's just my questions I'm throwing out there. And then in this case, are they going to be able to go back and say that this is allowed for them, even though they did it before this ordinance was in effect? I'm just trying to figure out the plan there.
You can stay at the microphone for a second.
What'd you say?
It's very rarely I get somebody from the public that comes up to one of these, that talks about one of these in that kind of depth. We'll have to think about some answers here.
I don't have the ordinance in front of me. I don't recall seeing the stipulation for the exceptions that the structures had to be existing or pre-existing. There may be an assumption that that's the case, but it might be good if that's the intention to add that as well. It doesn't, I don't think, currently say that. Again, no, I don't have the ordinance in front of me.
Well, that, I could try to find it on the city site, because that was my question when I saw it, but has never really got answered. Why is the pre-existing in there?
One section here talks about, it says except for dwellings existing prior to the effective date of this ordinance, where although the lot abuts an alley, the rear yard is inaccessible by motor vehicle due to the location of the principal building. So there is some language in here that talks about dwellings existing prior to the effective date of this ordinance. So to me, that does not give them future relief. That's in section 3 of the ordinance. That same language is in section 2. Section 1 has to do with new curb openings, but that's relative to new development. That's not being, that's not looking back and being to preclude existing conditions. So that existing dwelling language is in section 2 and 3.
I mean, because if it's a new construction, we're going to require parking.
Yeah.
If there's no out access, it's going to have to come off the front, right?
I mean, and where else are going to put it?
Yeah.
That's a requirement.
It's got to come off the front.
So anything new would just wouldn't apply to anything because it's going to be required, right? It might be fun to think. That's why I
Section 4 talks about that too. It says an exception to this requirement shall be for dwellings existing prior to the effective date of this ordinance, where although the lot abuts a public alley, it's inaccessible by motor vehicle due to the location of the principal building.
Right, because it's set apart from the
Historic district has,
so you can't park in that,
historic
right?
district has a yeah. lot like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you can attest to that.
Not,
yeah,
not
they're
so
right on.
It seemed like that
property line.
That pre-existing, or at the time, prior to the effective date of this ordinance, that's in three of the sections where it would appear appropriate to not allow them to claim a new dwelling that's constructed subsequent to the ordinance to claim that same relief. They would not be exempted from it, because it's only allowing that exemption to dwellings that exist at the time the ordinance is adopted. So if this gets adopted in 2 weeks, anything constructed after that would need to comply with the ordinance, and it would not, could not take advantage of the exceptions that are in here.
So they did it prior to being approved?
If they did prior to being approved, that's a different question. That's an enforcement issue, it sounds like to me, if they're doing improvements or having any type of permits. That's a different matter. That's not something that this ordinance is talking about, but this ordinance is talking about the exceptions to the ordinance that would allow or clarify when parking would be permitted in the front and or side yards. But it's only for owning on properties where the dwelling exists at the time this ordinance gets adopted?
In section 2,
yep.
That section 2A is a list of exceptions, right?
That's correct. That's
and then F is adding except. It's like a double except, or like, is it negating each other by it? Like, why do you say the word except and then except?
This has to do with the encroachments. This section here. And section 2 is encroachments that are permitted in the front yard. The following front yard encroachments shall be permitted. And F is parking in all single family and two family zones when the rear yard does not abut a public alley. That's what it currently says. And it's, what's being added is except for dwellings existing prior to the effective date of this ordinance, where although the lot abuts the alley, you can't get to the rear yard because of the location of the principal building. The principal building is too far back on the property to provide a driveway and a parking space coming in off the alley. So,
like it says at the top, that no encroachment shall be permitted within the minimum required front yard, side yard, or rear yard setback,
okay.
Except as follows.
Right.
So then, in F, why do we need the word except there again? It's like you're accepting the except.
Because if you look under that general, you looked at the general no encroachments, but then under that there's a sub 1.
Okay.
And then it says the following front yard encroachments shall be permitted.
Okay.
So it's given you subsection for the front yard.
Thank you.
Further down, there's the same thing for the side.
This is classic case in point how the ordinance has a lot of
moving parts.
Yeah, moving parts that don't always move together in the right direction. And it's, you know, it's this, you know, so when we stumble into stuff, we try to correct it the best we can.
Oh, I agree that it's something that needs corrected. I'm just trying to figure out if this is allowing them retroactively.
Well, they've done it. You know, it might be illegal. But that's something that has to be taken up at code, not us.
Yeah, I think the problem with what you're describing is it sounds like it's in the side yard, and the ordinance does not currently permit parking in, as an allowable encroachment in the side yard. So this apparently is addressing, or is this a consequence of your particular neighbor.
Is there anyone else from the public would like to come up? Please come forward.
Alan Richter, 1023 Wesley Avenue.
Can you spell your last name, please?
R-I-C-H-T-E-R.
Your address?
1023 Wesley. And the first name is spelled A-L-A-N. No one ever gets it right. Thank you.
Certainly. Yes, Mr. Richter. Testimony about to give this to you. The truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes. And actually, I didn't come here to actually speak on this matter, but I did have one comment about some of the recommendations that were just made, sure. Considering auxiliary buildings and things like swimming pools. I heard of the word garage used, and in my thought is that if there is already an existing garage, there is already existing off-street parking, and I don't know how we would allow that to have another curb cut out for extra parking. The other concern I have are for things like sheds and pools. Those are things that homeowners have done to themselves, and it's not innate to the building. And, you know, does that give people who decided to put large sheds and pools in their yard, which does not allow them to have parking spaces in the back of their house, to now ask for a curb cutout and now put parking? So that's really my comments for tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else? I have a motion to close the public.
So moved, Shepherd.
All in favor?
Okay, so we'll close the circle back to our previous discussion. Chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative to approve Mr. Shule's report with the recommendations to be made to council, 1 through 5, that Mr. Shule has addressed with the board. Again, it's an affirmative. I will consider it in the affirmative. And generally speaking, you don't have to get into too much detail on your comments, but in consideration of the public comment, I'm going to ask you to comment when you adopt the resolution and the reason for your battle to proceed. And that being said, again, the affirmative motion to be made before the team.
Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
Shepherd.
Do I have a second?
Lawrence.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
I would vote yes. I believe that ordinance does try to provide for off-street parking where it currently is not. Certainly, there's some exceptions where there's no alley access, so I think this tries to address that. So I vote yes.
Mr. Barnes?
I would say yes, also as the reason previously stated.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes, with the previously stated.
Mr. Adams?
Yes, I believe that a yes vote on this is going to enhance this parking and development ordinance for that. I think Mr. Shule's done a good job of putting in front of us to let us render a good decision and that previously mentioned reason. I vote yes.
Dr. Vandeshore?
I vote yes for the previously stated reasons.
Mrs. Halliday?
I vote yes. I think this will allow for existing non-conforming homes to provide off-street parking that wouldn't otherwise happen.
Mr. Stell?
I vote yes, too. I agree with Mr. Shule's report, and I like the off-street parking as well. I think it fits this property.
Mr. Loper?
Yes, I believe in the consistency report that Mr. Shule has done, and I also think that his recommendation should be moved forward. And as far as pools, I'm just going to answer something. As far as pools and whatever the other one was, sheds, you need a permit to put a shed in. You need a permit to put a pool in. Your site plan would be reviewed, and your parking would be reviewed at that point. So that's not going to happen. And as far as parking in garages, I don't know. I can't talk about that. There aren't many garages that get parked in. So, yeah, yes. And we're going to move forward to our next one. It's a consistency report again, 2515. It's block 3606, lot 1, redevelopment plan. Mr. Shule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to basically jump to the back of the report first. I've attached ordinance 2515 so you have that full ordinance at your disposal to review. I did not attach the redevelopment plan itself. If you'd like that, I have that. I can send it to anyone that would desire to have a copy of that. The City Council via ordinance 2562-208 declared the subject block 3306 lot 1 to be an area in need of rehabilitation. The redevelopment plan dated October 10th has been prepared by the Highland Group and Harmon Douche Oler Architecture. Pursuant to the ordinance 2515, City Council desires to have the planning board review and comment upon the redevelopment plan and advise as to whether the redevelopment plan is substantially consistent with the interstate master plan. That's all we were asked to do. It was limited basically to consistency with the master plan, so that's what we've done. According to the redevelopment, local redevelopment housing law, I've given you the statutory criteria upon which the redevelopment plan has been referred to the planning board and what our role is at this point. And then I give a very brief history about the Gateway Zone, established in 2009. 3306 Lot 1 was zoned neighborhood business prior to the Gateway Zone.
Under the current zoning plan, the subject parcel is located, again, 34th Street Gateway, which, quote, is intended to accentuate this entry into the city by encouraging development compatible in terms of use, scale, and appearance for this location, end quote. That's from the zoning code. Last paragraph outlines or describes the permitted principal uses in the zone. The 2019 master plan recommends elimination of certain landscaping requirements, revision of bulk controls, and clarification of building design standards. A number of those recommendations have been addressed via amendments to the zoning ordinance before the redevelopment plan for Sea Spray area seeks to alleviate the deleterious conditions of the property and support use of the site to advance public health, safety, and welfare. The plan itself contains a number of objectives. I put four of those in the report for your review. Section 6 of the redevelopment plan describes proposed land use and building requirements. The primary use intended for the property is a four-story multi-family residential development with a max of 43 residential units. Vehicular access is to be provided via two full-service driveways on Bay Avenue. The lower level will be used exclusively for parking. Floors 2 to 4 comprised of 2 and 3 bedroom residential units. The plan indicates a flat roof height of 46.5 feet. Section 11 of the redevelopment plans indicate, quote, that the plan is compatible with the goals of the Ocean City Master Plan and is designed to effectuate the same. Redevelopment plan furthers a goal set forth in the plan by redeveloping and rehabilitating underutilized areas and by encouraging both economic development and preservation of the city's natural resources. I also plucked out a few of the city master plan goals that I thought were relevant to this redevelopment plan would support, promoting the establishment of appropriate population densities, provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for residential, business, and other users, and to support the upgrading of standard housing through code enforcement and other means, certainly. And there's one more at the top of page 3. Promote a desirable visual environment to create a development technique. I think all of those have a premise or a promise of being realized through the redevelopment plan that's been provided. In addition to the above cited goals, the redevelopment plan for Sea Spray addresses the following purposes of municipal land use law. Those aren't necessarily relevant to the report, but I thought you might want to see those anyway. And having reviewed the redevelopment plan for the Sea Spray Rehabilitation Area City Master Plan and the relevant local redevelopment housing law requirements, my professional opinion, redevelopment plan for Sea Spray Rehabilitation Area advances several public purposes and is substantially consistent with the Ocean City Master Plan, thus satisfying the criteria set forth herein. So that's really all I have. Again, our charge was limited to reviewing for consistency and master plan. In my opinion, it meets that threshold criteria. Public, happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Shuler before we go to the public? Seeing no questions, can I have a motion open to the public?
Yes.
Second?
Shepherd.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Anyone from the public want to step forward on this one? It's the master plan consistency for the Sea Spray at 34th Street corridor. Seeing no one from the public coming forward, do I have a motion to close the public?
Barnes.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chairman, if I can make one comment.
Yeah.
Here. I know there was one question raised by one of the board members about whether or not the plan would allow for any deviations in the developments proposed in the plan. There's a specific section in the redevelopment plan that addresses that. It's in section 14, allows for deviations from the approved redevelopment plan. Basically, if the applicant comes in, they'll need to get site plan approval from the board based on that redevelopment plan, which is actually an ordinance that they will be following. But if they do need any relief, they basically would file statutory criteria, the municipal land use law. It would be no different than what they would need to put on the record to seek relief from what's in the redevelopment plan. That's all I
have. Any questions from us to them? No? Thank you.
Chair, can I entertain a motion in the affirmative for the approval of Mr. Shule's report and submission to the council? And you know, after hearing the reasons stated on the record, I like it. I think it's good for the board to contribute its comments. So I'm going to ask for your comments again as the resolution is considered for adoption. And again, it's presented to the chairman in the affirmative on the affirmative basis, and I'll consider it on the affirmative.
Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
Adams.
Do I have a second?
Shepard.
A roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
I believe this is consistent with the master plan the whole city has set. Certainly a new building there I think everybody would like to see, and I think this accomplishes that goal.
Mr. Barnes?
I would vote yes. I think that Mr. Shule's report confirms that the plan conforms with the master plan, and I too would like to see that area. You know, that's a gateway into coming into Ocean City, 34th Street, and I think this plan will really enhance that visual when you come in.
Mr. Shepard?
I vote yes for the previously stated.
Mr. Adams?
I vote yes on the Shule report. I think it does the job of explaining the consistency with the master plan and our goals for not only Gateway Zone, but anything that has to do with redevelopment or this one particular one's redevelopment or rehabilitation, so I vote yes.
Dr. Vandeshore?
I vote yes for all the previously stated reasons.
Mrs. Halliday?
I vote yes. I agree with Mr. Shule's consistency report, and in particular appreciate the goals that he outlined that are relevant to the master plan.
Mr. Stell?
I vote yes. Same as Mr. Barnes, I think it's going in the right direction for the master plan. I look at Mr. Shule's report. It's an improvement to that point. I vote yes.
Mr. Loper?
I'll vote yes for all the previous stated reasons, and the report was very complete. Thank you, Mr. Shule. Back to the agenda. Adopt the minutes of 11-5-25. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Do I have a second?
Thanks.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Adopt resolution PBA-003 Martin Prince. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Fine.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Shepard?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Subcommittee reports? No.
I'm not sure what the.
We can hold until January.
That sounds good to me.
That's good. Okay, and I'm going to have to chase everybody out of the room because we have to go to an executive session. Do I have a motion to go to executive session? Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. As soon as the room's cleared, we'll go to executive session. Last one out, close the door, please. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Later, David.
We should do a zoning board plan for Christmas party, Jason.
At this point, we're moving into an executive session.
Just for the professionals for next year, You do have the ability to reappoint without going to bid, or you can send them out to bid. Gary's remaining the same at 120. Randy went up very slightly to 160
an
hour. Gary's at 120 per hour. Which
what was Randy's first? He went up? Is it 160 now?
I think he was 150.
150?
Yeah. And then Dave went up slightly as well. He went up to 150. I believe he was at, he might have been at like 145. My opinion, Gary needs a raise, but he did not propose that. He's been that rate forever. Oh, you're here.
Yeah. 20 years. Yeah. 20 years.
That just tells us you were paid too much in the beginning.
Well, as a taxpayer, I appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very consistent with the zoning board, although the zoning board solicitor is a lot higher. But it,
do we have a motion to accept all of this?
I mean, or do you want to reappoint or?
Yeah, reappoint. Let's do it. Do we do it as individuals?
No, we, I think you can do it all.
Reappoint all our existing professionals.
So moved out.
Do I have a second?
Second, Shepherd.
All no, roll call.
I'm gonna do roll.
You can do that here, but you could do it on the
you come
oh,
out.
Oh, that's right. We got oh, yes.
Come out of executive.
Do I have a motion to come out of executive?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then
said it. Do I have a motion to open it up to the public?
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't get open up to the public.
No.
Just you're out. You're
the voting public.
You're voting public.
Yeah, they it yeah. doesn't get open to the public.
But there's no public.
For comment.
Yeah.
But they you can now
is there someone out there?
Go sit out there?
Let's see if there's someone out there. We'll Mick. Bring them back.
And you can briefly
the crowd, Mike.
Surmise what we did in executive.
People are word cutting, so.
And you all have left.
Oh, goodness.
The
public doesn't love us. Seeing no public do it, well, we don't hear. Let me.
So the board came out of executive and they decided they would like to reappoint the professionals as stands. Mr. Griffith for solicitor, David Scheidig for engineer, and Randy Schuhl for planner for calendar year 2026.
And do I have a motion to that?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Dr. Vandeshoor?
Yes.
Mrs. Halliday?
Yes.
Mr. Stell?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Of course, yes.
Thank you very much.
Motion to adjourn?
Oh. Yeah. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Next year,
we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Shepherd.